Welcome to the Strategy Session Podcast, where ASI's editors provide tips and tactics to help promotional product professionals improve their businesses. In every episode, we go one-on-one with a business strategy expert to gather winning insights. The conversations are sure to be insightful and entertaining.
Today, we welcome Mr. Wonderful to the podcast. Kevin O'Leary is one of the stars of ABC Shark Tank and a super entrepreneur, having founded several successful companies, including SoftKey Software Products, StorageNow, and the O'Leary Financial Group. Kevin will be the keynote speaker at the ASI Orlando show on January 4th. Kevin, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
As a Shark Tank junkie, I missed you this season. How come you're not on many of these episodes?
Well, I was running for prime minister during the shooting season of June, so I missed those, but I'm on at the other back end, so I'm on for 50% of the shows this year. I'll be back at you next season.
Right.
Sometimes it's fun to be a politician.
Have you been watching the show this year? You've been keeping up?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What did you think of Bronson tossing the water on your boy Cuban?
You know, it just shows you billionaires can get into a hissy fit sometimes, and you saw it happen.
That's funny. Well, you know, when you come to the ASI Orlando show, we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship. And I wanted to talk to you about the different challenges between starting a business and growing a business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing that people have to realize. When you're starting a business, you have an assumption that your business model is going to work, and that almost never happens as you plan. So great entrepreneurs learn how to pivot. And so during the first 24 months, you're usually pivoting, trying to figure out what's working and what isn't, and you've got to be really flexible in your assumptions. Once you nail it, once you know the business model's working and you're running a business, this is when executional skills are paramount. That's when they really matter. Because when you know what the business model looks like, you've got to pour the gasoline of energy onto it because you know what works now, and now it's all about executional skills. Every day, doing what works over and over and over again and finding the right people to amplify that activity. That's the difference between starting a business and running one.
When should entrepreneurs leave their day job and dedicate themselves 100% to their business?
Well, this is why if you're young and you're in your 20s, there's no question about it. You're 110% in. You don't quit your whole job is running your business because the only person you're reporting to is yourself. But if you're older and you've got a wife and kids and a mortgage and liabilities and you've got to, you know, put your kids to school, this is where it gets much riskier. You've got to balance the risk versus the upside of the business. So what I tell people is, look, you're going to be working your rear end off. There's no question about it. You're going to be doing your day job during the day to take care of the family needs and working all night on your business, sleeping 4 hours a night. But that's what entrepreneurs do. You can do that for 36 months. In other words, prove out that the business is real and it's going to work, and then somewhere after 2 years, quit your job and jump into the business because you've proven the business model. You de-risk a business dramatically once you've proven your assumptions right and you've just got to execute. And I said that earlier. Once you know that's the case, quitting your job is not as risky as from day one quitting your job because you don't know if your assumptions are right.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You also mentioned earlier about finding the right people to bring on board with you that share that same passion. When, at like what point in the process should you expand the staff or bring someone else on board?
As soon as sales prove out. In other words, revenue solves everything. When you start selling and you actually get customers and people are buying your goods or services, you need to lever that up. The first people you want to hire are those that can get you more revenue. That's what matters the most. Salespeople. Sales, it's always sales, sales, and sales in the beginning. You got to be selling. And so that's the way to start. Pick one or two people that are just going to be killers at selling. And then once you start getting orders, you've got executional issues. You've got to have strong accounting. You've got to have good inventory people, shipping, logistics, manufacturing. But it all starts with sales. That's what matters the most.
Would you say it's more important to invest in serving current clients or attracting new clients?
Oh, both. You know, the thing about business is the minute you've got existing clients that are happy with what you're doing, you have to invest in making sure that they stay that way. Because the reasons you're getting new clients is because your existing ones are happy. That is absolutely key. There's no question about that. You really have to know at the end of the day that that most of the reason businesses grow is word of mouth. People saying, I bought this product or I bought this service from this company. I love them. I'm going back. That gets you more customers than anything. That's why you've got to maintain your base. You've got to be in the top quartile of customer service all the time.
What is the greatest advice that you received when you were starting out your business?
You know, that was tough. It's not to get emotional about it. When you're building a business, and this often happens, you hire your friends and your family. But as you grow, and this particularly happens after you hit 5 million in sales, when you hit 5 million, the hardest thing to do is start a business to get to 5 million. When you get to 5 million, you can make it to 25 million. But the only way you're going to do that is top-notch people. And sometimes you have to rotate out the people you brought to the party in the beginning because they don't have the skill set to make it to 25. And those are tough decisions. You have to be unemotional about it, cold as steel. And even if you have to fire your mother, fire your mother. Because number one is the business. The business takes care of the customers, the employees, and the shareholders. And you've got to take care of the business first. Everything else is secondary. And so if you've got somebody that's weak, you brought your best friend from high school in and they can't cut it, you got to take them behind the barn. You know what you have to do.
What does it take for a pitch to interest you?
I'm looking for three things. Number one, can you explain the opportunity to me in 90 seconds or less? The best ideas are simple. Number two, explain to me why you are the person to execute the business plan. You gave me a great idea. Now tell me why you're the person to actually build the business. And number three, you got to know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers, I have zero interest in investing in you.
I've seen that, you know, many times on the show when people come up to you and they have this wonderful idea, but, you know, you get right down the brass tacks. You want to know what they're bringing in, and they just don't have the numbers. And you can just see it on your face. You're like, that's it. I've checked out. It's entertaining.
Well, it's the reality of business. That's what I love about Shark Tank. It's the real deal. It's my real money, and I don't like to waste it.
Was there ever a product on Shark Tank that you regret passing on or you can't believe you lost out to another shark on?
No, I never worry about that. There's so many deals coming in the door all the time that I never worry I'm going to miss because, you know, I don't cry over spilt milk. I've got 44 companies now, which half of them are just killing it. So I've got plenty of good deals to keep me busy, and I'll get plenty more next season.
Absolutely. One of my last questions for you here. I see you talk a lot about, you know, the point of being an entrepreneur is obviously to not work for anybody else, but to also put in so much hard work in the beginning that in your later years, you can relax and you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. But you retired at one point and then came back. Why was that?
You know, I sold the company, the learning company Mattel, for $4.2 billion. It provided for all I was ever going to need, and I thought that was it. And I spent 3 years going to every beach around the world. It was boring as hell. I wanted to get back in the game so badly. And it turns out that one of the diseases you catch as an entrepreneur is you want to stay in the game all the time. You want to be winning. You want to be challenged. And that's what I do now. I'm going to die working. Why? Because I like working. And that's what I choose to do. But the whole point of financial freedom is to be able to do whatever you want. So tomorrow, I'm going to Boston. I'm teaching at Berkeley and at Harvard. I love doing that. I only do it because I want to do it. Then I'm going to talk to the state treasurer and all the investors in that state. And I'm going to fly somewhere else and do something else I want to do. I'm doing these things because I enjoy doing them. And the great thing about financial freedom and why I tell everybody entrepreneurship is a great path, although it's going to be very tough on your life in the beginning, is you don't have to pick up the phone if you don't want to. That's what I like about it.
Well, I'm glad you picked up the phone today, and we're looking forward to having you at the ASI Orlando show on January 4th. Mr. Wonderful, it's been a pleasure.
This has been the latest episode of ASI's Strategy Session Podcast. To listen to all of our podcasts, go to asicentral.com/podcast.